This is Digital Story Podcast number 819, November 30th. Today's theme is 2021, my most challenging year of photography. I am Derek Story. In large part, 2021 seemed like a year of talking about photography rather than actually taking pictures. But just like with any important relationship, anything that you can do to keep the embers glowing is worthwhile. Today, I'll take a look back at the past 11 months and look forward to what could be different in 2022. I hope you enjoy the show. I just spent some time looking back over my calendar for 2021. There was a lot of recording, 3 LinkedIn Learning titles, many Zoom meetings, and very few photo shoots. I didn't buy any new cameras in 2021, nor new lenses either. I did purchase lots of accessories, in part because the photography took on more of a personal DIY approach. So I bought things like IR filters and lens adapters, seeing if I could make this lens work on that camera and things of that sort. To stay motivated for my own personal work, I embraced infrared and black and white photography. Most of my photo shoots were local inside Sonoma County and often within walking distance of my house or studio. I also noticed that I broadened my interest outside of photography. I became very involved in learning about electric vehicles. My music listening shifted more to jazz. I bought vinyl records and relished the tactile experience of handling album jackets and putting records on the turntable. I watched a lot of Netflix, Hulu, and Apple TV. And there were many home improvement projects, including thinning out and cleaning 2 garages. In late summer, the tide began to change a bit. I sold the VW Vanagon and replaced it with the new VW ID4. I was able to go camping again. Some of my physical photo work returned, and I pulled gear out of mothballs to shoot commercially. And best of all, the Oregon Coast Workshop was right around the corner, my first physical event in 20 months. Now, as I sit here in December, looking toward the new year, I have some clarity about what has happened and what I may expect in 2022. And I thought you might be interested in those observations. And I'm sure a lot of you have experienced similar thoughts. Almost everyone that listens to the show is passionate about photography. It is an important part of their life, an expression of their creativity, a pastime that gets them to do other things like travel. So, you know, all of us are just kind of like grappling with these changes and reinventions that we're experiencing as a result of the external forces that have been thrust upon us. So as I was thinking about this, really the context is not so much, you know, reflecting on 2021 just for the sake of looking back, but really trying to garner the gems from this past year that we're just wrapping up now and trying to figure out how can I use those moving forward to make 2022 more productive, more creative, and use what we've learned to keep the ball rolling forward? So I have 5 things here, 5 observations that I think are noteworthy. And I think not only might they be useful for you as you're thinking about your next year artistically, but also what we're going to do together as a community. So the first one is, photography is a diamond with many facets. When we can't do what we normally love with it, explore other areas that are available to us. And this really jumped out at me in terms of looking at things over the past few months in that, hey, what I like doing is getting out and working commercially, you know, taking pictures of people, being at events, you know, those sort of things. I love travel and landscape photography. And those just weren't as available to me as they normally are. So I was thinking, okay, what sort of things can I do to keep a camera in my hand? One of the major things that I did was infrared photography. I learned a lot about it. I've led 3 workshops on IR and really just opened up a whole new world to me that honestly, if things were rolling along normally, I probably would not have explored. I also dug deeper into black and white photography. It's been a long time since I really spent time shooting in black and white and processing it and thinking about it. And that seemed refreshing as well to kind of go into that area that I hadn't visited for a long time. And I think that photography is so beautifully diverse. It has so many different sides to it that when one aspect of it is limited or constrained for us, it's really important to look around at other aspects that might be available to us, begin to explore those, and see what we can learn. And who knows, maybe they will become a part of our future. The second thing, Zoom turned out to be better than I thought it would. It's so true, right? I've been pleasantly surprised at how personable and connective our online workshops have been. And Zoom, quite honestly, has been a lifesaver. And I think that part of the key to having effective Zoom gatherings is having an interactive aspect to them. For instance, if we're sitting in a Zoom meeting where it's just a one-way street, you have someone talking, everyone else is muted or not participating, then a little goes a very long ways. It's very difficult to stay concentrated. It's very difficult to stay engaged if you're not contributing, if you're not part of the event. However, what we did in our online workshops and what we will continue to do is I do some talking, other people do some talking, they talk among themselves, and we have a much more circular sort of interaction during our Zoom meetings, which Zoom is quite capable of doing. I mean, just because they're usually one-way conversations with a lot of people listening, it doesn't mean it has to be that way. That is a choice that the presenter is making. So if you take Zoom and you make it more of a collaborative experience, then I have to tell you, it has been very satisfying. And what's really neat about it is that when you're sitting there in a Zoom meeting and you've got someone from Northern Europe and you've got someone from Texas and you got someone from California and someone from Hawaii, you're kind of going, wow, this is really neat that we're all here in this room having this conversation about a topic that we all enjoy and like and are learning from each other. So Zoom in that sense has turned out to be a real pleasant surprise. And it's definitely going to be part of our 2022. It has a spot in the mix, but a person doesn't live by Zoom alone, just like a person doesn't live by a 28 millimeter lens alone. You know, we need the other ways of communicating as well. Another observation is that gear and activity, for me anyway, truly are tied together. This was kind of a fascinating revelation to me because I hadn't bought any real, you know, major purchases in 2021. And it dawned on me the reason why is because I'm not out shooting, you know, commercial shoots, or I'm not planning a trip to Spain, or I'm not, you know, doing like these big sort of things that usually are the driver for gear. So if I'm sticking around, right, sticking around Sonoma County, and I already have what I need to explore, like I already had a converted infrared camera, I did buy some more filters in 2021, I already have everything I need to work on black and white, I didn't need to buy more stuff for that. And so I ended up just standing pat with the gear that I had. And I thought, sometimes photographers get pinned as, you know, loving gear for the sake of gear, and that we're just these total gearheads, and that the actual creation and the artistic and the shooting part of it is secondary. And I don't think that's true, at least with me now. I can say I know that isn't true, because it's the other way around. It's the activity, it's the things that I want to do, it's the challenges that I have that drive the gear acquisitions, not just gear for the sake of having more stuff. So this was kind of a pleasant revelation in the sense that, oh, I don't really have GAS, gear acquisition syndrome, What I have is constrained activity that's leading to me not needing more stuff. So that one kind of made me smile a little bit. The fourth thing, my appreciation for the iPhone has grown over the past year. Now, I've always liked mobile photography. We've talked about it. I've written about it. I do training videos on mobile photography. But this was the year that, in my case, the iPhone 12 Pro Max has become my favorite backup camera. And as I explore my space here in Sonoma County, I'm usually carrying one camera, either one of my Olympus cameras with a lens on it or my X100V and the iPhone. So my mirrorless camera is the camera that I think I need, right, based on what I'm going to do, whether it's infrared photography or a little bit of landscape or a little street photography, whatever it happens to be. That's how I base the choice of my main camera. And then the iPhone 12 Pro Max is like the ultimate backup camera, or has become the ultimate backup camera for me, because it can do so many different things. And so if I run into something that I didn't anticipate, a lot of times the iPhone can cover that space for me. I have leaned on it more this past year than ever, and it has delivered quite well. The ultra-wide lens has saved me many times. Its ability to do movie making, its ease of making panoramas, its low-light photography ability, its ability to shoot moving water handheld. You know, all these sort of things have just stacked up to when I come across something that I didn't expect, having that Swiss Army knife of a camera in my pocket really has saved things. Now, that being said, I still love my mirrorless cameras as much as ever. They are still my first choice, so it hasn't displaced anything at all. I think the thing that I figured out is that for me, the iPhone is a great backup camera because of its versatility. It's sort of like the great utility fielder that can play any position on a baseball diamond. However, I don't want it for just my main camera because, well, there are areas where it's just not as good for me. I mean, I like having an electronic viewfinder to look through. I like having the ergonomics of a regular camera. There's a lot of things that I like. I like having a little bigger sensor. I think I've really kind of sorted out this past year where the iPhone and my mirrorless cameras, how they work together and how that whole system fits together. And I really like it because it's very nimble and it's been very productive and it's super enjoyable. So again, this was another pleasant thing that came out of the past year. The fifth thing I want to mention is that we still need physical events mixed in with the online classes. The online classes have been a great surprise to me and delightful, to tell you the truth, truly delightful. However, when I had the Oregon workshop in early November, that clearly demonstrated to me that I need a balance of events, and I think our community does as well, to stay happy and healthy. Online is fantastic, and it has been a revelation in 2021 and will become a part of our life moving forward. Those events don't displace the need for us just to get together every now and then somewhere beautiful, be tested by nature, and see what we can do in that environment. I really missed physical events in 2021, and man, I tell you, when we got out there on the Oregon coast in November, it just all came rushing back to me how much I enjoy this and how important it is. So that leads us to a very interesting 2022. Our core activities will continue to be the foundation of our community, and that's the weekly podcast, the Inner Circle, and our Facebook group. We will continue to explore different facets of photography through our online classes. And I think the online classes are really good for exploring things like IR, black and white, iPhone photography, you know, stuff that maybe you don't want to dedicate a physical workshop to, but works really great as an online workshop. And I hope to come up with some other new things that we can explore online, as well as IR, black and white, software, all that good stuff. Having the option to do online, I think, allows me to take more chances and creatively explore different topics. But we're going to have physical workshops as well, now knowing that we can conduct them safely, even as this pandemic drags on. And I'm okay with all of this. I've come to terms with the fact that my portrait room here is now a Zoom studio and that it will probably never go back. I realize that I will have to seek out more personal projects to help fill the gaps of my commercial work. And once again, it's clear to me that adaptation and reinvention will be the keys to a successful 2022 for our community. I'm excited about the prospects, and I'm just so glad that you're here with me, and we're going to do this together, and we're going to have a great time. So I've got kind of an interesting story for you that in a way dovetails with what we've been talking about here. So let's tackle that right now. Digital camera demand booms in China as live commerce explores. And you can read the entire article on Petapixel. I have a link to it in the show notes. Here's what they have to say. And I found this very interesting. Buying a new camera is about to get even harder as exploding demand in China, led by live commerce, has led to increased supply issues on a system that already cannot meet demand. Exports out of China have slowed due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, and as a result, domestic sales through what is called live commerce have exploded. To support it, the need for better quality cameras has followed suit. Live commerce is the practice of demonstrating or selling products through live stream social media such as TikTok or Instagram. Mostly dominated by influencers who sell cosmetics, clothing, and bags, the method is now being leveraged by factory employees who sell anything from housewares to cars. Typically, live commerce does not require significant effort to be put behind the quality of footage and generally relies on the front-facing cameras on smartphones. However, because certain products have fine textures that smartphones can't render properly, or items that simply look better in streams with higher quality camera, dedicated digital cameras are growing in popularity. Most live commerce content creators realize that better footage has a direct impact on better sales. Demand for cameras has leaped 20% in 2021 over the previous year, and manufacturers have not been able to keep up with demand. An unfortunate familiar story. In the West, camera availability has been a sore subject of 2021. Manufacturers have been struggling to keep cameras on shelves amid a boom in demand that has coincided with the chip shortage and that has brought most of the tech industry's ability to manufacture down to a trickle. With huge demand now growing in China, and with the market expected to command hundreds of billions of dollars, it is very likely that camera companies will shift their focus to meet that demand given the potential profit to be made. While good news for the camera industry is not necessarily so for those who have been hoping to see cameras become more widely available. So again, this is an interesting kind of ramification of our changing world, our changing environment. And the need for cameras, you know, their roles have changed. In this case, a new camera isn't so much for going on vacation or exploring a new location as it is to increase the quality of a streaming presentation. And I know this for a fact because the camera that I use for our Zoom meetings and for actually everything that I do on Zoom is an Olympus Pen F with a 17 millimeter lens. And I have had many, many, many comments over my Zoom months on how good that picture looks. There's a noticeable difference when you compare it to a webcam. So having a dedicated digital camera for your commerce or your web streaming presentations makes total sense. It has created a new demand for cameras, and it has put yet a bit more stress on the camera industry. Now, overall, I still think this is good news because guess what? We are going to get the chip shortage figured out at some point. And having a whole new venue, a whole new demand for cameras, I don't know. It just seems like good news for camera manufacturers. The rest of us will continue to scrap and scramble for, you know, cameras when we need them. But the main thing that I want is I want to see these new things pop up and flourish, and I want our beloved camera industry to be able to supply what is needed for that and to be able to continue to create the stuff that we want as well. Mastering Capture One Pro online workshop coming up January 12, 2022. I'm particularly excited about this Capture One Pro workshop. We've done a previous Capture One Pro online, and I thought it was very satisfying. It was really terrific, and it came off well. Again, it was something that I thought Zoom was a great medium to handle it. But the reason why I'm looking forward to this next one, this one coming up in January, is because Capture One Pro is going through a lot of changes. There's already things that they've introduced, new features, such as the Magic Brush, that is going to be fun to talk about in this workshop. But they're also working on a version for the iPad. That means there's going to be cloud connectivity as well. And they've announced that there's going to be an iPhone version that follows the iPad version. So now we're really looking at a very full-bodied experience with Capture One Pro. And I feel like now is a good time, if you're interested in this application, or if nothing else, just to download the free trial and take the workshop to learn about it. I think now is a great time because this application is on the move. They are putting a lot of resource behind it, and it's good stuff. I mean, it's my go-to photo management app right now, and I know a lot of people have moved over to it. So anyway, in this workshop, it's going to be 4 sessions. We will cover organizing and processing and all the basic stuff. We'll lay a foundation for using Capture One Pro 22, but then we're really going to get in to the new features and the stuff that really kind of takes it to another place, right? So we'll get the basics down so that you're comfortable with them. There's a lot of information sharing, and then we're going to get into the new features so that you can really get your head around the capabilities of the software and decide, do I want to make a switch? Or if you're already using it and struggling a little bit, maybe help you be a bit more comfortable with it. Once you get to that point where you start to feel comfortable with the basics in that app, I've just noticed people just take off with it. They just take off and really enjoy using it. Our weekly meetings during the workshop will be via Zoom. I do morning and afternoon sessions. For some people, they end up being midday and evening sessions. I mean, it sort of depends. But the one thing that we have found by having 2 sessions a day far apart, that one of those sessions will work for everyone in the workshop. So you can fit it into your busy schedule. Plus, I record the sessions and make them available to folks for further reference. So if you're looking to really explore Capture One Pro to decide if this is the right application for you, or if you just want to feel more comfortable with it and be ready for all the new stuff that's coming down the pike, I think you'll really enjoy this workshop. Plus, we have all the camaraderie and all the other good stuff that comes with our online workshops. You can sign up today at thenimblephotographer.com. Just click on workshops, or I have a link to it in the show notes. All right, let's take a look at a little virtual camera club news. I want to start out with our Inner Circle members, the folks that help support this podcast month in and month out, not only with their $5 monthly contribution, but also with their thoughts, their preferences, their desires, their hopes, and their dreams, right? We get all of that. And that really helps me keep my finger on the pulse of this community. You know, when we decide, you know, should we do this or that? First place I usually go is to our Inner Circle members, put that question to them, and then they help me decide the best way forward for our entire community. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, and I hope you are, please click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take a look around, and I hope that you'll join us soon. I want to mention my writing on Medium.com. If you're interested in seeing what I've been up to, just go to Medium.com and search on my name, Derek Story. I also promote our articles on our Facebook and Twitter pages, and that way you can go over and take a look at them. So far this month, I've done two pieces, one on the return of Olympus, and then the other one is using this great iPhone technique for capturing flowing water, the long exposure technique, and you can do this handheld without a tripod. That is the second article I published on Medium.com this month. I usually do 2 to 3 articles a month. I hope you go over there and take a look at them. And if you like what you see, clap for it, please. I always enjoy that, and follow me as well. And finally, I want to give a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. They check all the boxes when it comes to inkjet paper: quality, variety, different sizes, support, enthusiasm. It's not just, you know, some faceless company that, you know, you buy paper from. Red River Paper jumps in with both feet. You feel like that you're working with people who really care about printing, which you are, by the way, and that all their products reflect that passion. If you're interested in seeing what they're up to, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. That takes you over to our landing page. And from there, you can explore at will. I recommend, if you're just getting started with Red River Paper, that maybe you try some of the sample packs and get a feel for the different surfaces. They usually stamp the paper style on the back so that you can actually print one image with 5 different stocks. Live with them a bit and decide which paper stock is best for you for that type of image. It's really kind of a fun exercise to do. I love taking an image and putting it on 3 or 4 different stocks, letting it dry down, leaving it out on the table, and then just sort of mulling over the differences over a period of time, ultimately deciding on which one is right for me. This is a great thing to do in the off season. You know, really get to know which paper stocks are the best fit for your photography. Then you can order a 25 or 50 sheet box and have them on hand when you're ready to do some serious printing. Red River Paper also has a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them for supporting this podcast and for supporting the inkjet printing community. All right, it's going to do it for me this month. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you're already thinking about 2022 and what your year is going to look like artistically. I'm thinking about all sorts of good stuff, including workshops. Make sure you come back and join me next week. Until then, stay safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.